Hello and welcome to our morning service, Cornerstone Baptist Church, Leeds. If you are a regular Cornerstone person, then you are really welcome. If you are coming into this maybe for the first time or the second time, then as a church, we want to welcome you. And we pray that you'd have a really good time as you worship with us today. We are in the middle of a series where we are thinking about serving God on our front lines, wherever that front line may be. And today we are looking at the wonderful truth that whatever we do, it matters to our God. Going to hand over in a moment to Matthew and Sarah Newman, who are going to lead us in some worship. And then we are going to move into our all-age talk. Gideon is going to bring that to us. But before we do that, I just want to read a few verses from the Psalms and lead us in prayer as we begin our service today. Going to read from Psalm 31. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. A prayer for God's help and for guidance on the way of life. Maybe as you tune into this, you resonate with that. You know that you need God's help and you know that you need God's guidance. May God speak to you today. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you in this way. And we pray very simply for your presence and your help. We bring to you all that we are and all that we have, and we offer ourselves to you. And we pray that during this time you would so work in us by the power of the Holy Spirit that we would be forgiven, inspired, equipped, and instructed in the gospel by your word, that we might be changed in order to be agents of change in the wider world. Help us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh,
Thank you to Matthew and Sarah, and thank you to Gideon. We continue with our service now. We're going to have some prayers from Chris McCoofer, and Priscilla Domenu is going to bring our reading today. And then I am going to speak. It's unusual that the leader and the preacher is the same person, but that's how it has worked out this Sunday. And just before we move on, some encouragement. If you are listening to this in real time on Sunday morning, we are going to have a Zoom after party and we're going to share communion together. And I just want to encourage you to come into that time if you can. You'll need some bread and you'll need some wine. But it's a wonderful thing to be able to celebrate communion together, to remember our Lord Jesus, who gave himself for us. He calls us each to remember. And if you can join us during that time, that would be wonderful. If you can't, or you're listening much later on, then may you know God's rich blessing as you continue with this service. And you continue on into the week.
Hi guys, I'm going to be delivering your all age talk today. I know you've been stuck with me, maybe not everyone's first choice, but hey, it's great to be with you on this lovely Sunday. I'm hoping it's a lovely Sunday. So later on in the service, Peter's going to be doing a sermon looking at 3 Colossians and the later part of that chapter. And it's kind of looking at work and our attitude towards work and who we do work for. So I thought I'd try and break it down a little bit using my second favourite children's TV programme of all time. So number one for me is Bananas in Pyjamas, but number two is Teletubbies. And some of you definitely will be too young to have watched either of those programmes, and some might even be older than watching those programmes, but I hope you've all heard of them, and I hope you all know the picture that I'm going to use a little bit later. So yeah, as I say, 3 Colossians is looking at the work we do on earth and our attitude towards work. And it's quite often when we describe people who have a great attitude, we kind of describe the smiles on their faces when they do things, and they're like a shining star. Now, the main star that I think everyone would think of would be the sun. And the Teletubbies sun is one of the most iconic images of children's life. everyone should remember that son. And I'm very grateful to Joel because he even laminated this for me to make it look nicer. But yeah, that Teletubby son is a great image and a great reflection of how someone who has a great attitude towards work, when asked to do something, they don't argue, they don't get upset, they don't get a bit moody, they're not a bit like, oh, can I do it later? They do it with a smile on their face and they do that task. That describes this son so well, I think. But on the other hand, you have people who you often hear them described as cloudy or gloomy when they do things. They argue, they get upset, they don't really do everything with much energy. And you could argue they're cloudy. Now, these are really dark clouds, to the point that it's actually quite hard to see the difference in them, but they are really dark clouds. And that is the opposite of our smiling baby picture from the Teletubbies. And they can often have a bad attitude towards work. And we all, every once in a while, have this feeling where we're a bit down, we feel a bit upset for ourselves, and we don't really want to do something. But the important thing is to remember who we're doing this work for. And in Colossians 17, it talks about everything you do or say should be done to obey Jesus your Lord. And in all you do, give thanks to God the Father through Jesus. And then even later on in verse 24, we see it says, remember, you will receive your reward from the Lord, which he promised to his people. So we're not just doing work for the people who ask us to do it. We all have either jobs or go to school or just have family members who ask us to do things. My mum often asks me to do things which I don't want to do, but we do them. And the important thing is to do it with a smile on your face because it's noticeable and people might think, why is that person doing that so nicely and so easily? And it's because we do our work not just for our earthly people, that we do it for God as well, because we know that God has given us a great gift and we've been promised so much, as we see in verse 24. So I hope you take that message with you, and I'm sure Peter will break down this part of the chapter so well later. So enjoy.
Thank you. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for bringing us together today to worship you. If we are to boast, Jeremiah 9, verse 23-24 says, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight. What a right we have now, God, that we can be called your children through our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us stand in the gap for our loved ones in the front line, praying that you protect them, strengthen them, and uphold them with your right hand. May you anoint us today with your Holy Spirit and touch us with your word in this service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The reading for today is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 to 24. I'll be reading from the NIV version, which is also known as the New International Version. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Instructions for Christian households. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes are on you and to curry their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Is the Lord Christ you are serving? This is the word of the Lord.
Father, help me do good today.
I want to shape this place to your design.
Help me see the value my work has to you.
May I model your kindness and patience.
So that you are recognised.
May they know Jesus through my presence.
May they see your light as I share mine.
Give me your joy and self-control.
So that your warmth touches those I meet.
Help me to be generous.
Quick to put others first.
Sharing clearly your love and grace.
Give me words to speak about you.
And courage to stand for justice and truth.
Whatever the day brings.
In my humanity, weakness, breakthrough.
Let my life overflow with you.
So we continue with our series about life on the front line. We've seen that wherever we are, we can serve God. And today we see that whatever we do, whatever our role, whatever our profession, it matters to God. Wherever we are and whatever we do. We see that captured in our reading this morning, especially in verse 23. Let me remind you of what it says. Whatever you do, there's the phrase, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not human masters. Just before we plunge into this, a little bit on the context of the passage, and especially the context of slavery. It's very clear in these verses that Paul is talking to slaves and masters. And it's really important that we note straight away that slavery in the first century is very different to slavery in the 18th and the 19th century. The unspeakable evil of chattel slavery in the former British colonies, the barbaric and horrific treatment that was meted out to enslaved Africans. What we see here in the first century is different. The Greek word doulos or douloi, slave or slaves, could actually be translated bond servant, and some people do that. And it highlights the fact that for many people, slavery in the first century was at least tolerable. Slaves would almost certainly have won their freedom by the time they were 30. They had certain rights in the ancient world. They could save money. And when slaves were freed, they would sometimes go into trade with their former masters on equal terms. So slavery in the first century is very different. Nevertheless, Aristotle, as just one writer, talks about slaves as living tools. And if you were enslaved, it was still a difficult place to be. What are we to make of the way that Paul treats slavery in these verses? Is he in some way legitimizing the practice by talking about it? Not at all. And what we see in the Bible, what we see in the Gospel, what we see in Paul is actually implacable opposition to slavery. Paul, in various places, lays out principles that, when they were understood, undercut slavery at the root. We see that in the book of Philemon, for example. He speaks of the absolute dignity of humanity. He speaks of equality. He speaks of brotherhood and sisterhood in Christ. And the point is, I'll say it again, that when such principles are understood, they undercut slavery in all its forms at the root. Slavery in all its forms is actually an unspeakable evil. It is against God. It is against the Bible. It is against the gospel. And we need to be aware of it, and we need to be against it as well. So what is it that Paul is saying here as he addresses slaves and masters? Well, he's addressing it because, for all its awfulness, it is something that is very much present in the lives of many of his readers, many of his listeners. In some Roman provinces, up to 80% of the population either were enslaved or had slavery as part of their family background. So he addresses it because he wants to apply the principles of the gospel to the real world. And he looks forward to the day when this is no longer an issue. But for those who are trapped in it, he wants to reassure them that whatever they do, it matters to God. Whatever they do, it matters to God. And by extension, whatever we do matters to God. spoken about this in one of my podcasts, and it just seems relevant to mention it again here, that we have had two wonderful interns with us over the past year, Gideon and Hannah, and they have both done tremendous work, and they're now on different pathways. Hannah, as you know, is exploring with us whether she is called to join the staff team here as associate pastor for children. And that's a process that we are moving forward with as a church. She is passionate about children's ministry. She is passionate about Cornerstone Baptist Church, about Connect at Copper Beach, at Crag, at Headingley. And she wants to give herself unstintingly to this ministry. So that's Hannah on the one hand. And on the other hand, we have Gideon. I hope they don't mind me talking about them in this way, but Gideon has done tremendous work, and he continues to do so, of course, in the life of the gathered church through Zoom into Church, for example. But he is working now full-time in the financial sector and really giving himself to that. Now, someone might conclude by looking at Gideon and Hannah that Hannah is in some ways being more faithful because she is involved in church-based ministry. She's on our Intern Plus program at the moment. And Gideon is somehow being less faithful because he's moved into the financial sector and he's serving God there. But that is not the case. Paul says here, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if you're serving the Lord, as indeed you are doing. We began to hear in recent days the phrase level up. This isn't a political point at all, but it is a sort of zeitgeisty phrase. It is becoming part of our language. We think of leveling up and in the north of England wanting to be leveled up with the south. Very, very important. But we need to think of our own leveling up in the Christian community, in the church. We may, in our thinking, have Hannah here and Gideon here. We may have church workers here and finance people here. We may have pastors, cross-cultural missionaries, those who work in the caring professions maybe here, and those who work in retail or as homemakers or in some other form of business down here. Church workers, those who are in the caring professions, cross-cultural missionaries, absolutely crucial. Whatever you do, do it well, do it for the Lord. It matters. It's so important. It's so wonderful. And one of my commitments is to encourage those with the appropriate gifting through into pastoral and preaching ministry, church planting ministry, whatever it may be. And so that level is right. But for those who are feeling that they're down here because of unconscious and sometimes conscious messages that are produced in church life, we need to level up. If you are in retail, if you are in finance, if you are a homemaker, the scriptures say whatever you do, it matters to God, and we need to level up. It's not more important, but it's just as important as far as God is concerned. Your front line matters to him wherever you are and whatever you do. And this is where the context of first century slavery can really help us, because yes, it wasn't the same as the terrible slavery of the 18th and 19th century, but still it wasn't good for many people. And Paul reaches out to people and encourages people and says, in effect, you may be treated as a living tool. That may be how you feel yourself sometimes, but you matter to God. What you do matters to God. It's really, really important. It is your front line, and you will receive a reward from the Lord as you do your work for Him. And so what you do really, really matters to God. And what we need to do in church life, in our own thinking, is to level up. Pastors, missionaries, church workers, children's workers, absolutely. But also those who are homemakers, also those who work in the civil service, also those who work in retail, in food production, in whatever it may be. Insert at this point your profession, what your front line is, maybe working in the community. It could be absolutely anything. As long as you can do it for the Lord, then God is with you. That is your front line, and it matters to Him. And the final thing to say this morning is the encouragement to do this well. We see that very clearly in these verses. Paul says, first of all, do your work with integrity, not only when someone is watching, but also when no one's eye is upon you. In workplaces around the world, there are people who are working in order to curry favour with others, in order to get ahead. When the boss is watching, the work will be a lot better. When nobody is checking up, then the standards will slip. Christians should be those who work with integrity, whether someone is watching or not. Your work matters to God. Whatever you do, remember those words. Whatever you do, and as you remember those words, do your work well for our Lord. And there's a word here to those who are in management, those who are the bosses, those who are, in the terms of this passage, masters. Do what is right and fair. In our small group this week, we were talking, and people who are in management were talking about how this series has been helpful to them and how it has just encouraged and challenged again to manage well, to lead well. I know that many of you watching this, many of you listening, are leaders in your professions, in your places of work. You may be leading teams. You may be managing a small group. You may have very large responsibilities for a team. Do what you do well. Be right and fair. In my former life at Spurgeon's College, I ended up my time as acting principal for a number of years, working alongside a chief executive, Andy, who became a really good friend. I was in contact with him again this week. And the thing that always struck me about Andy is that he always sought to do what was right and fair. He didn't have favourites. He and I got on very well, but in terms of workplace issues, he treated me just the same as others. He treated me well, and he treated others well, even when he didn't get on so well with those people. He did what is right and fair. There was no favouritism. And so I want to encourage you today with these words: whatever you do, what you do matters to God. So wherever we are, we can serve God. We think about what our front lines are. But whatever we do matters to God. Do it well. Do it for the Lord. You will get a reward as you serve well, whatever it is. Do your work with integrity and always do what is right and fair. I have a conviction that this is so vital, this leveling up in our church life, in our Christian culture. If we can get this, then we can release not just one or two or three ministers or missionaries, but a whole army of people who will go out into the world enthused and inspired and equipped to serve our God, to do the work well, to see what God is doing and join in with that on front lines across our city and beyond. People who are ready, when it's appropriate, to speak a word for Christ. People who will do their work differently, who will shine for Him in such a way that it will make a real difference to person after person after person. And people will begin to ask questions. What is it about these people? When those questions come, we can be ready to say, in all humility, I have the same sorts of struggles as you have. I grapple with all sorts of issues, but I have a God who loves me and who walks with me, and I see at work all the time. You can know that God too. Just be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you. And so we hear the encouragement of God's words, the encouragement that whatever we do, we can serve Him.
Thank you. Thank you.
to close with a final blessing, which is a blessing with a difference. And it almost doubles as a takeaway. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 through to verse 21. The section that I'm going to read is entitled in the New International Version, Love in Action. And it just strikes me that these words are just so powerful as we go out into the world to live for our God. Love in action is so crucial. And as we think about not only wherever we are, but also now whatever we do, there are principles here that are deeply practical that can shape the way that we are in the workplace, whatever that looks like for us, on our front lines, wherever they may be. The verses speak about love. The verses speak about forgiveness. They speak about the struggles of persecution and the principle of overcoming evil, not by paying back evil in return, but overcoming evil by good. As we live differently in the wider world, these are all principles that we can put into practice in the days that lie ahead. So hear these words as a very different type of blessing, and hear these words as a takeaway, things that we can take into the week ahead and put into practice. I'm going to read these words slowly and reflectively. Romans chapter 12 and beginning at verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of a low position. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to revenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coals, that's burning coals of repentance, on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Lord, in the week that lies ahead, we pray that you would give us these qualities: patience, peace, perseverance, understanding, deep love for others, people who may be difficult, people who may be over us in the workplace, maybe under us in the workplace, colleagues that we may struggle with, family members that we find difficult. Help us to love, and after all is said and done, to continue to love in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, wherever we go and whatever we do, we pray that we would know that you are there and that you are wanting to bless the very work of our hands. Be with us, O Lord, we pray, In Jesus' name, amen.